So you mentioned lorlatinib also. Can you talk about what we know about that and where we are today in terms of second and third line therapy for these patients?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, if you decide you're going to be a second line lorlatinib person, then the ALTA-1L and the ALEX data is like, okay, so now we get to choose based on some of these more minor issues given the efficacy appears the same. But there is the concept of what are the lines of therapy you could use. So lorlatinib, given post and next generation inhibitor, was originally reported as having a 40 to 50% response rate and a progression-free survival of about 5 or 6 months. There's a couple of things to pull out from that. The first is they've recently started to pull out the data, which I've been asking for a while, is to present intracranial efficacy separately from extracranial efficacy. We know that one of the real strengths of lorlatinib is it's amazing at getting into the brain. And when you do that, the response rates, if you have intracranial disease, are probably running 50 to 60%. And if you only have extracranial disease, the response rates are running in the kind of middle 30%.
That sounds kind of weird.
Well, no, because what's happening is in the brain is mostly a drug penetration issue. And if you have a drug that's really good at getting in there, your response rate acts as if it's an earlier line of therapy.
But why would it not work systemically?
Because there it's been exposed to the drug, so you've selected out a biological change in the cancer.
Wow, interesting.
I mean, it's really, we may go and talk about it with some of the later cases, but this whole idea about breaking the body down into intracranial and extracranial compartments is absolutely coming home to roost. The other thing is, on the lorlatinib data, there's very nice data that Alice Shore had led looking at your chance of responding to lorlatinib post a next generation inhibitor, depending on whether you could find a mutation in the ALK, a resistance mutation. If you did, the response rate was 60%. And if you didn't, it was 20%. So the concept of one ALK inhibitor followed by another one, followed by another one, certainly you can just play the numbers. But the hope is in the future, maybe we're going to be saying, okay, if you've got a mutation and we can find it, we feel confident this is the right approach. If we don't, maybe you're still going to try it and you're just going to be a bit more skeptical. But maybe we're going to find another group of things that we can do in the people who don't have a mutation. We will have a choice other than just going to lorlatinib.